The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
There he is, that big, beautiful, good-looking man there, Rossbridge Animal Hospital's own Dr. Rab Stewart joins us for Dark Side of the Pooch. I was down at Ed's Pet World just yesterday. Got me a elephant nose fish. You ever seen an elephant nose?
Whoa, I'm going to look it up right now.
It looks like it. Yeah, pull it up. Really, it's called an elephant nose. It looks like a cross between a dolphin and a shark, and then it's got this long thing like an anteater nose. It's the coolest looking thing I've ever seen. It's wild.
Oh, man. And they so used to spelling fish with a P. I almost spelled it with a P.
and they get pretty big too. It's super cool, and it's not aggressive. So pretty much, now it's an expensive little fishy.
It almost looks like a hummingbird.
It does. Its nose, yeah, it does. It's called an elephant nose fish. It's pretty cool. You get that kind of stuff down there at Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for 50 years down there in beautiful Homewood. Exotic pets. I mentioned my chinchilla is doing fantastic. I'm spending a lot of time with it every single day, so it's gotten used to it. It's coming up. I know, isn't it cool looking? I know, right? It's so cool. They come in black and different colors. So check out Ed's Pet World, and also, of course, Saskatchewan Comics and Toys, or Toys and Comics, down there on the Citation Court in Homewood. He's got a brand new store. It's comics and toys from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, stuff that's still unopened in the boxes. They buy, sell, and trade. If you're looking for Star Wars, you're looking for comics, you're looking for Legos, they've got it all down there. They're killing it down there. Check out Ed's Pet World and Sasquatch Comics and Toys. We always like to check in with you, and sometimes you I got a great story I want to share with you. This happened this week at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Is that the case today?
Well, we have a case that came in today, and we're still waiting on test results. But we've had a rash of icteric dogs lately. So okay, I think we talked about this last week.
What is
jaundice?
That?
Remember, I think jaundice. We talked about this.
Okay, yeah.
Jaundice. So we're starting to have a little rash of jaundice here. So we're still waiting on some test results pending on this one dog. But that's what we're amongst many other things. That's one of the things we're working on today. But it's really crazy when you see it, because the whites of their eyes turn yellow, mm-hmm. and their gums turn yellow, and if it gets bad enough, their skin will also turn yellow. So it's kind of a freaky thing.
I had a friend of mine had yellow jaundice, and it does. You actually turn yellow. In humans, what causes yellow jaundice? And in pets, is it the same thing that causes their situation? Is it dangerous? How is it caused, and what do you do to get rid of it?
There's a lot of different causes. So it can be caused by hemolysis. So the red blood cells being lysed. It can be caused by liver failure, either like an infection, which is kind of what we think this
dog. You see
that
in alcoholics a lot, don't you, yellow jaundice?
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when your liver starts to fail for one reason or another. But at the early, kind of early stages here, it looks like this is going to be some type of infection. So infectious things can cause it. Inflammatory things can cause it. And infection and inflammation kind of go hand in hand, because you can have inflammation without infection, mm-hmm. but usually infection is going to give you inflammation. You can see it with autoimmune disorders. You can see it with congenital, birth problems. Like if they have a shunt, like a vessel mm-hmm. that diverts blood away from the liver rather than through it, you can see it with that. And then there's a lot of things that cause hemolysis, like primary things, like, for example, snake bites. Snake bites can cause hemolysis. And so anytime you have hemolysis, it can lead to icterus or jaundice. So icterus is a symptom. It's not a disease. And there's tons of different things that can cause it.
Okay. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. We always get a ton of emails. Out of all the shows I do like 13, 14 shows here on Tony Curry Radio. This one gets the most emails. It's a $46 billion industry. And he's the best, Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, RossbridgeVet.com. Check out their website wherever you see him, on Facebook or Twitter. You can throw some questions at him there as well. I had an interesting weekend. I had my two dogs with me, and I went to Clemson to pick up my son and bring him home for the summer. And the hotel that I stay in, it's a Comfort Inn. They have a jar there at the checkout with a big bone on it. And I was like, what's that big bone on there? And she's like, well, those are dog bones. And I said, oh, do you allow pets? And she said, yes. And I said, wow. I said, that's super cool. So we were just going for a quick get in, take his stuff apart, put it back in a car and head back home. And I thought this would be perfect because it's a one day thing. So I brought Frisco dog and I brought Rainer with me. And obviously whenever you bring a dog on a trip, they're not used to being a trip. I don't put them in kennels when I put them in the car because my smaller dog, I probably should have brought his kennel and put it in the hotel room. I know I should have done that, but I figured he was going to probably lay in the bed. My daughter had her own bed and I was in my bed with my other son. But obviously their eating habits are off. Their pooping habits are off. Everything's thrown off. Their smells are different. They're going in elevators, which they're not north to. What would you suggest? Because my animals didn't eat the entire time they were gone. I didn't have any messes. I didn't have any poop or pee. And obviously when they got home, it's kind of like their whole routine is thrown off. Now I've had a couple of accidents in the house since I got back. I'm like, hey, I took you on this trip. What gives, bro? You didn't eat for 3 days. And all of a sudden now you're eating and you're pooping all over the house. Should you stick to a regular routine as much as possible? Should you feed, if they haven't eaten for a day and a half and you're going to be gone for 3 or 4 days, you're camping or something, should you feed them when you know they're hungry, even though it's not their feeding time?
If they're anxious about stuff, then you can give them something along the way if you want, you know, before the trip. If some dogs get upset stomachs, yes, because a dog's stress organ is their GI tract. So if they get stressed, their GI tract is going to be affected. So if you have a dog that even after you get home gets diarrhea, then you can give them a probiotic before you go on your trip, and that might help them not get diarrhea either during your trip or mm-hmm. even after you get home. So you can be a little proactive in either helping with their anxiety, if you feel like it's anxiety based, either with giving them a probiotic or something just to kind of help them chill out. Anytime you mess with a dog's routine, then it's possible that they could have some GI upset. So, I mean, laying the foundation of creating a dog that isn't stressed when you leave it starts really early. I mean, it starts when they're a puppy. So taking it to a daycare, taking it to a doggy daycare, let it play as soon as it's able to do that, boarding it, dropping it off for the day, mm-hmm. letting it know that it's a good place for it to be without leaving it there for the first time for 10 days. You know, those are all things that are good to do. My dog is up here all the time, so he's never stressed when I leave him here. Yeah. But there are a lot of dogs that they may board once a year for 10 days and they didn't start boarding until they were 3 or 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll be fine. But those dogs may be more likely to be stressed than other dogs.
If you know your dog's really hungry and hasn't eaten in a couple of days, okay to feed it? Or should you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to keep my dogs from being hungry. They're not skin and bones, but I'm to the thought process that when they're hungry, they'll eat. And so I'm like, you missed dinner time, then tough noogies. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow morning because I don't want to have to take you out at 2 o'clock in the morning because you're going to poop in the room.
Yeah. But you have more leeway with a big dog. A big dog's going to maintain their blood glucose a lot. Like their blood glucose is going to be a lot more regulated than a small dog. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful if you have a small dog and they don't eat in a day and a half. Really small dogs could get in trouble. Their blood glucose could get too low. Whereas a larger dog, they can go longer.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to, you know, take that into account. It's not just, you know, one size fits all.
Gotcha. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're available on every major industry out there. We've won awards and we've got shows all over more shows coming up this spring and summertime. Super excited about that. Holly in River Chase wants to know, she said, I've actually boarded my pets at the River Chase or which you wrote down River Chase. I think she meant your place. So I'm not going to say River Chase. I don't know if there's a River Chase veterinary thing. I want to make sure you're getting your props there at Rossbridge. She said, my pets seem to be very, very happy there. She said, what exactly do you do with my dogs all day?
Well, we have a staff every day. Well, first of all, we can hold about 40 dogs at a time.
Yeah.
And we have a kennel staff every shift of three. So it's each dog gets a lot of attention. All right. So basically we have one kennel staff per 10 animals. So they get a lot of attention. They get, if they go outside for daycare,
that's their job, somebody, just to look after these dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's all they do. Okay, yeah, that's all they do all day long. So they give them food, they give them water, they walk past them a bunch. If they're not getting playtime and they're just in the boarding facility, they get walked three times a day and they're constantly being, you know, looked at by the staff. If they do get to go outside and play, if they are there for daycare, then they're running around with other dogs while we have a kennel staff member out there playing with them, running with them, throwing stuff to them. So if, you know, if your goal is to try to get your dog to be as stimulated as possible while it's here and get a lot of attention, we can do that. If your goal is, you know, hey, I just need a roof over my dog's head and need to give it some food and water for the weekend, then we can do that too. Yeah. But we have enough people to, you know, whatever level of care you want to provide it.
That's what I thought. Hey, when you have a dog, and I got my two dogs, I got my Australian Shepherd, my Havanese, and when my Australian Shepherd's alone, causes no problems with the dogs. When I'm on a leash, he'll sniff and do his thing and they wag their tails around the way. But if my Havanese is with him, he fights every other dog that comes around it. I don't know if it's a protective thing. I don't know what the situation is. When you've gotten dogs that are situationally temperamental, and then you put them with say you put all 40 of your dogs like in an outdoor pen, a dog park, and let them go at it, how do they normally, how would you characterize their behavior then? Do they still fight, or are they pretty much overwhelmed by the fact there are so many animals? They're like, hey, I'm just going to kind of kick back and chill out here.
Well, I think every dog has a tendency. You either have dogs that are real aggressive, or you have dogs that are real passive, and then you have dogs that are in between. And every dog has a tendency. So if you get a big group of dogs together, you're going to have the dogs that assert their dominance right from the beginning.
Okay.
And you're going to have dogs that are submissive right from the beginning, and they're going to roll over on their back, or they're going to tuck their tail and run, or, you know, whatever. But then you have this in-between group, and they're the ones that can be pushed one way or another.
They're troublemakers, aren't they?
Or they're trouble followers.
I see it in your face. Yeah, they're troublemakers.
They're trouble followers.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if they lean aggressive, then when one dog starts becoming aggressive, maybe they're going to have that herd mentality and start being aggressive themselves. So the key is to know your dog. And if you know your dog, you know what their triggers are, and you can just avoid it. Because, you know, dogs, they're smart and they can be taught and they can learn. But when it comes to depriving themselves of that animal instinct, they don't do that.
Yeah,
they just don't. Unless you have a very well-trained dog, their instincts are going to take over. They're not like us, where, you know, we would hope that we are civilized people, and those urges that we have that we know are not good, some people have better control over those than others. But, you know, dogs, they don't have that.
Yeah.
So you have to know your dog.
Okay. Johnny in Russell Woods. And I'm assuming this is the guy who lives right next door to me, because I got a Johnny that lives there. And it's Russell Woods. He wants to know his dog has cut his lip and wants to know if he needs stitches. He said it stopped bleeding on its own, but he's got kind of a gash. He actually was going to send a picture if he needed one, but I don't think we need that, Johnny. We'll just, because simply we'll do a radio thing, we could show the picture next time we're on television. But when do you know if your dog needs stitches? Is it one of those things where if it doesn't stop bleeding, chances are you need stitches? If it stops bleeding on its own, you're good to go?
Well, that's a tough, it really is somewhat subjective, but it also usually needs to have an eye put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I've seen some of the smallest wounds that you think are going to heal fine. They end up not healing well. They get infected. And then you have to go in and you have to remove tissue. You have to get all the dead tissue or infected tissue out and you close it back up.
Yeah.
And I have seen some of the nastiest, you know, just make your stomach turn. And you think, man, we're really going to have to sew this up. And it heals. So it really, what we do, and I think I guess I can't speak for human medicine, but everything is about trends and what we do, whether it's blood work, whether it's a wound, you know, whether it's a surgery. Looking at something just one time, that's just a snapshot. And it, you really need a trend to see how things are going to heal. Like, for example, I think maybe we talked about, we amputated a dog's toe a couple weeks ago and had cancer in its toenail. So that dog, you know, a couple of days after surgery, looked great. A couple more days after surgery, it got an infection. You know, the dog spent a lot of time licking on the wound and it got infected. So then we started on some antibiotics. We said, come back in a couple of days. Well, it looked even worse a couple of days after we started the antibiotics. So, you know, you start out, you think something's going to look great. 2 days later, it looks terrible. But then you change your approach. You put them on a different antibiotic. They come back 2 days later. It looks great.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about trends.
Dogs take antibiotics like humans. They got to take the entire amount. Like, I know that we have to take most humans. We get 10 days antibiotics. Normally by the third day, we're feeling better. So we just stop taking them. But we have to realize that if we don't take the entire allotment, antibiotics don't work, right? Is it the same thing with dogs?
The worst thing about not finishing your prescription is that you can kill off some of the bacteria, but the other bacteria can become resistant to that antibiotic because they've gotten a little taste of what it's like.
Yeah.
You didn't give it enough to kill them. And so now they've seen that antibiotic enough to know that when they see it again, they know how to avoid it.
Okay.
And that's, I'm really oversimplifying it, but if you don't take enough of the antibiotic to kill the bacteria, you just take enough of it so the bacteria outsmarts it, then you have a resistant bacteria and that can be very bad.
That's not good.
So, yeah.
All right.
Take it off, people. Take it off.
208-0301 is the phone number, rossbridgevet.com. They do wonderful work there at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital and greatly appreciate Dr. Rabstewart joining us every single week. Neil in Blockton, first time question. You'll like this question. It is a presidential election year. What's a good presidential dog and a good vice presidential dog? When you think of presidents and dogs, what would make a great president dog, and what would make a great dog that seems like it has a pretty important job but really doesn't do squat? That would be our vice president.
I feel like labs are very regal looking dogs. They're just like
Joe Biden seems like a lab, just purely in the look. Is he not? Because he's kind of happy go lucky. Like you could see him wag his tail, but he could get kind of fierce if he thinks he can get fierce if he wanted to.
I don't know. I don't even know if I could say Joe Biden could even. All right.
Well, if Donald Trump was a dog, what would Donald Trump be?
A cavalier. He would be a cavalier just by looks. Look at his hair.
You didn't even stop there for a second.
No.
Okay. Then
no, his hair, his like the hair, yeah. Little thing. It's a cavalier King Charles. But I think a lab is.
So what kind of dog is Joe Biden? Hold on, let's get this.
I don't think Joe Biden is a dog.
If he had to be a dog, what kind of dog would it be?
No, can he be a cat?
A bunch of Democrats. I love that.
Can Joe Biden be a geriatric? a geriatric cat,
yeah,
who, you know, just needs to be led around.
Yeah. He just, seems like he'd be one of those really old dogs that would get really, really excited when you came home from the store, like you're gone for 5 minutes. He'd get really, really excited.
I've never seen him really excited. I don't watch a lot of news. Yeah. Does he get excited? I just feel like he gets confused.
I'll tell you what, I would say his wife, she looks like a lady in Lady and the Tramp.
Oh yeah,
she's definitely
she could be a cavalier too, or she could be a cocker spaniel. But the actual lady from Lady and the Tramp is a cavalier King Charles.
Oh really? How about that? So what would be a good? So you're saying cavalier would be a good president dog, and what would be a good dog to be the vice president? Kind of like just
the lab. The lab is the presidential dog.
The lab is the best. Okay, and the cavalier is the vice presidential dog.
Yeah, the cavalier could be the vice president. Let me think of a good vice president dog that just kind of goes with the flow. You know, I think that a good beagle, you know, could be vice president. The other thing that's good about a beagle is they're real vocal. you don't want the president to be real vocal. You just want him to be assertive and strong, you know, or she could be a female. Then I'd be male, but you know, the vice president could be a little yappy. You know, I think that's okay. You know, it's, he's all bark, no bite. So beagle, let's do beagle for VP.
All right. Speaking of barking, I tried a bark collar on Frisco Dog, on my little Havanese. What is he, about 7-8 pounds? He's kind of small. And he's gotten the point now where when I wake up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to go do my thing, he is barking, starting to bark. And then of course he wakes up my other dog and that dog starts to bark. And next thing you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, they bark. And then I let them out and they bark outside. My neighbors don't get too happy about that. So I got a bark collar for him and it worked like a dream the first two nights. And I don't leave it on. I you know, it works for about 24 hours, but I put it on at night. I take it off in the morning. I don't mind if he barks during the day. And he barked and he made this really weird yelp, this really strange, bizarre scream. It was really weird. Like what the hell was that kind of thing? And you could tell that he felt like he had been disciplined. Like he put his head down and stuff and he was freaking out. So that happened. But then and it's supposed to, the collar is supposed to be based off the tone and the impression rate of the bark itself, because every dog has a different bark and a different tone. And it's supposed to base its energy level or the stimulus, if you will, to the shock value based on what that bark is and how often does it. Because sometimes dogs will freak out at a bark collar and they'll bark at the bark collar. So the second day was great. And then ever since he's been barking like he's wearing nothing. What's going on?
Maybe you got to turn that dial up a little bit.
Well, there's no dial on it. There are some bark collars you can turn the dial up. And you can actually, I mean, you can put some power into a little Puchito. We did that with our blue healer. You turn it up to 8 or 9, man. It's like, I mean, they're it's not good, man. I mean, I'm not saying it could kill it, but it's not a good thing. It's not a good sight.
It sounds like that your dog isn't afraid of the collar anymore.
All right, so I need to get another collar then.
Maybe get one that sprays. You know, you can get them that spray.
Yeah. Does spray work? Does spraying dogs with hoses work to keep them from barking? Is that an anti?
It helps break up fights for sure.
Does it?
So I mean, if it can help break up fights, then maybe a little spritz to the face.
See, my next door neighbors who listen to the show, so I have to be careful. They have those 6-7 dogs, you know, and they bark like all hours of the night. And the neighbor on the other side, he's got a wife who's got Alzheimer's. God bless him. And so she needs to get her rest. And so he'll go out there with a hose. And he sprays them when they bark. And obviously that gets them wet. And then they go inside their houses. So they're not happy. I'm like, you know what? The guy's got the right to spray him with the hose. If the dog's over there barking at 4 o'clock in the morning, I totally get that. But they don't bark in his side of the yard anymore. So they're coming over to my side because I don't really do anything about it. And that hose is right there. And I'm getting to the point where, you know, I've got pretty good patience value. My temperament's pretty good, but it's after a long, hard day at work, the last thing I need is something yipping on my heels and barking at me when I get home. Just saying.
Maybe throw them some meatballs. Maybe they're hungry. Give them some meatballs.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Anything else going on there at the wonderful Rossbridge Animal Hospital, brought to you by, of course, Ed's Pet World, doing fantastic work. I mentioned my elephant nose and, of course, also Sasquatch Comics and Toys. They're going to be joining us on our ABC television show, and I'm getting you on a little bit later on in June. I've got a spot for you, so I'm looking forward to having you on our big TV show on ABC 3340 called The Starting Lineup. So I can't wait to have people actually put a face with a voice when you get on the show.
It's going to be great.
All right, fantastic. Tell people how they can find you, my friend.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us sometimes on Facebook.
You rock. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.